Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Friday, April 17th, 2026. Hope everybody is doing well as we wrap up another week of the 2026 season. Now, the Yankees, unfortunately, could not manage 3 out of 4 against the Angels. They had to settle for a series split, and the bullpen was a big reason for that. Now, there are some other issues as well, but, you know, going into this year, we knew two things in particular stood out about the weaknesses regarding this team, and one of that being the bottom third of the order, and that remains the case as we're, 3 weeks into the year, and very much the bullpen as well. Now, that's mostly what we're going to be talking about today. Actually, we got a lot more to dive into than just that, but I really think that is solely our issue that separates this team from being, forget the World Series contender talk just yet, because there's so much more to come regarding that conversation. Cole returning, Rodon returning, and them two returning without any issues, and seeing them actually get on the mound at the big league level, and we'll get there when we get there. The trade deadline, that will all play a massive role. I'll tell you, if the Yankees bullpen was decent and deep enough in the meantime, which it's not, we could get by with our bottom 30 order. We could get by with the other issues that we've seen so far with this team. But we're not there. The bullpen is an issue. And we knew that going in, which is something that I've been discussing on here a little bit, which is like there's nothing new about what we've learned regarding this team. Now, unless you believe some of the offensive struggles that we've seen are not just a mirage, not just a aberration, if you will, unless you believe, Bellinger's going to have an OPS around the 700 mark the rest of the year. If you think Jazz is truly going to be this bad, which, hey, maybe he will be, that's one thing. But the bullpen is not a mirage. Like, the bullpen is legitimately a weakness, and it's costing the Yankees games right now. It has to be addressed immediately. And we're going to talk about how the Yankees could possibly do that, because this isn't a thing where, all right, sure, the deadline, I'm sure they'll fix this problem. And long term, there's some solutions that should help us out in the pen. But for now, like, just talking about, we'll be previewing our series against the Royals, which we'll get going tonight. Yankees include a 13-game stretch with 3 against Kansas City and the Bronx this weekend. These are important games, and the Yankees' bullpen is not good enough right now to feel comfortable going into these important games. And the reason they're important games is because they're all important. Now, after splitting the 4-game set against the Angels, the Yankees are now 10-9. Of course, got off to an 8-2 start. That's well documented by now, and they've fallen off quite dramatically since. 10-9 record, and that has them a game and a half behind the Tampa Bay Rays for first place in the AL East. Now, long term, I'm not worried about the Rays, but obviously not being in first place isn't ideal. So Rays 11-7, they're in first. Yanks 10-9 are in second. Orioles are 9-10, and then after that, you got the Blue Jays and the Red Sox, who are both 7-11. Now, we have a series against Boston next week, which should be pretty exciting, but we'll touch on that when that time comes. Let's get into our main topics here today. As always, if you're listening live on YouTube, if you could drop a like on the stream, helps out a great deal. It's Friday, yo. It's a gorgeous Friday. I was outside getting a little bit of a cold brew with oat milk before this, and it's a gorgeous day. It's a gorgeous day to win a damn baseball game. And reminder, we will be live on the main channel, Yankees Avenue, at 7 o'clock for Game 1 against the Kansas City Royals. But for now, it's the Morning Yanks Show. Let's do it and discuss everything on a more level-headed, in a more level-headed state of mind. So with that in mind, let's get into the bad from yesterday, which really all the revolves around the bullpen. And the bullpen, again, was not good. So you had Max Fried pitching yesterday, and he really, you know, he had his first clunker of the year. 5 earned runs allowed for Fried. The Yankees' rotation overall was not great this series. We'll touch more on that in just a moment. But yeah, 14 earned runs allowed the Yankees bullpen surrendered this weekend to the Angels, which is a season high. I mean, that's quite an incredible number. Not majority of that, but a good portion of the damage done, of course, by the Angels this weekend was Mike Trout. Why do I keep saying this weekend, by the way? We're not even at the weekend yet. We're basically just there now. This wasn't a weekend series. Anyways, Mike Trout obviously was nuts. That was cool, him and Judge going back and forth. Not going to lie, it got a little bit old, and I'm not just talking about Trout doing well. The first Judge smirk was cute. The second one was like, oh, here we go. I did not need the cut to Judge every time Trout went deep. And to be honest, after a while, it started to irritate me. But that's neither here nor there. Trout went off. The Angels offensively overall very much went off. And listen, we really saw it taken to another level with this bullpen because, for the most part, Fernando Cruz has been on all season long. And that was not the case this series against the Angels. He had a couple of rough outings. And, you know, in a case where his command, and that's typically the only issue with Cruz, will be when his command isn't good, which was an issue, like the main issue going into his tenure with the Yankees was the walks. Now, he's improved. And for the most part, like, Cruz has been terrific this season. We saw it the other day where the command wasn't there. That's one issue. And that, when that's the case, Cruz isn't going to be effective. When he's also not going to be effective is when hitters are sitting on that splitter, or not sitting on that splitter, but more so ready to take and just more so spit on that splitter and not swing at it. Somewhat similar in a way to, you know, Tommy Kahnle when he had his nasty changeup and it was disgusting. For a while, it would be effective. And then after a bit, you see hitters start to realize what the game plan is. It's, all right, just don't fall for that changeup. It's kind of similar to a degree if they can avoid swinging at Cruz's splitter. I think there's still a difference between the two. I mean, Cruz's stuff otherwise is still better than Kahnle, but you got a main pitch. And when that's not going to be effective and when the command's not there, Fernando Cruz isn't going to be a great option. And when you take him out of the equation as being a reliever we can rely upon, then you really get into the depth being exposed in the Yankee bullpen. And, you know, we saw Jake Bird get optioned down the other day, which, you know, given the circumstances, makes sense. But going into the year, the idea of Jake Bird not being a factor and him being optioned down as soon as April 15th it was, that puts us in the hole even more. And he was bad. So, I mean, this isn't a thing where the Yankees made a mistake sending him down. He had a 7.71 ERA Jake Bird had in seven innings this season. Now, he had some good games. Recently, though, a couple clunkers, and that led to the Yankees sending him down to get a fresh arm up. They called up Yerry De Los Santos. He was here for just one day. And then you had Angel Chavivi called up for the final game against the Angels, and he ended up giving up another home run to Mike Trout, which was a shame because, you know, the first batter, the way he looked, was pretty damn good, and then he gets a couple swings and misses of Trout on the changeup, and I'm like, all right, let's see what we got here, and then ends up giving up the homer. It's like, all right, this is still very much an issue. Now, not to judge somebody based off one outing, but we kind of need the immediate just, you call up this guy, and you get the effective outing. It's like, okay, for now, given the situation, given how the lack of depth we have, one good inning out of Angel Chavivi yesterday would have had me at a spot where it's like, all right, I look forward to giving you the ball tomorrow, too. Like, it's that simple for a guy to become a high-leverage reliever for the Yankees right now. And you could take Jake Bird as that example. While he had, you know, expectations going into this year, despite the way it first started off for him last year, it's like, Jake Bird, a couple good innings to begin the year. All right, you're officially that six-inning man. And that, we know, kind of fell to the wayside a little bit with his struggles over the last week or two. But we're seriously lacking right now. And Camilo Duvall, he was not good as well. He gave up a two-run shot to, I believe that was to Mike Trout as well. The bullpen's a problem. Now, Bednar, I still don't consider to be a major part of this conversation. Now, he has not been great, but he does have five saves. And, you know, he had the one bad game that lost us one of the games against Oakland, but that was more so an issue with the offense that day. Bednar, I don't really worry about. Camilo Duvall, I do. Now, the stuff still looks really good with Duvall. That's never been the issue. The command actually has been decent for the most part, but he's been getting hit. I mean, Duvall, if he's not going to be good, that really, again, just kind of like, what's the word, accentuates? Is that the word I'm thinking of, Chad? This issue, as is everything else we talked about, on a day where Cruz isn't pitching well, all right, then we're really in trouble. Jake Bird was supposed to be a big part of this bullpen, which that was not a foolish idea. No matter what, he'd be a factor going into the year, but the Yankees were really relying on guys like Bird to be good. Guys like Duvall, they're still relying to be good, but it's, again, like, with how thin our pen is, when Duvall's going to be bad, when Bird's no longer an option, and on a day where Cruz doesn't have his best stuff, what is our bullpen? It's really nothing. So this is a problem right now. Now, long term, there are solutions. There is a trade deadline. And because this is such the main obvious glaring hole, and contrary to popular belief, it's not a thing where the Yankees have so many holes to patch up. No, they really don't. Now, we can have a conversation about the bottom third of the order. I'm not going to treat fixing that as like a luxury, but compared to the bullpen, it is. And part of the reason I bring this up is the Yankees will make moves at the deadline. And I think we might see our biggest splash of a trade the Yankees have made in a long time, in particular with the bullpen, because it's such an obvious area of need and the one main thing truly holding this team back. And that's why, with what I said earlier with the bottom third of the order, like, that's a problem. And I'm not saying that's not going to kill us, but if our bullpen was just good enough, deep enough, we'd be able to get by with the bottom third of the order. Now, we'll see if they get a third baseman at the deadline, or I don't think they're going to move on from Austin Wells, at least not during the season this year. And maybe we'll see if Volpe gives us anything coming back. Javier, we'll talk about in a little bit for topic three. He's been hitting the ball really well lately. The long-term solution for this bullpen is the trade deadline. Also, when you get Cole back, you get Rodon back, which, by the way, if you did not hear, Cole will begin his rehab tonight at AA, throw right around 40 pitches. Rodon has a live BP today. If that all goes well, he will begin his rehab assignment next week, which is awesome. Once those two are back, well, then that would mean, in all likelihood, Ryan Weathers can go to the bullpen. Will Warren can go to the bullpen. Now, Luis Hill is a factor in this as well. I don't really see how Hull translate to the bullpen all that much. But in the case of Will Warren, you know, he pitched the other day in, what was that? I believe, game one. And now he technically didn't allow an earned run because you had an error by Caballero. Overall, had four runs, but zero of them earned. He looked really good over the beginning of that game. Looked really sharp. Stuff was awesome. And I think Warren is way more than a pitcher that you can only rely on for a few innings. We've seen him be really, really good. I think, though, his stuff will translate really smoothly to the pen. And just seeing his outing the other day, I mean, you could look at him kind of as a potential Chad Green-esque, Michael King before he went to the starting rotation in 2023-esque, like long-ish reliever, a guy that you can rely on to get strikeouts, also give you a couple innings and just be effective for more than just a couple outs. Will Warren eventually will go to the bullpen, as will, you figure, Ryan Weathers. This all relies upon the return of Cole and Rodon. The other question, though, is because, again, this is an immediate issue. This isn't so much about the long term. I think the Yankees will shore up their pen at the deadline. The return of Cole and Rodon means those two, Weathers and Warren, go to the bullpen. That will help. It will. Like, simple as that. But we need, like, a kind of a quick fix. Now, Carlos Legrange, I don't want to get anybody's hopes up that he's an option just yet right now. I think he probably should be, given the circumstances, but the Yankees want to keep him a starter, at least as long as they can, build him up, or keep him built up for a good portion of the season. So we're probably still a ways away from Legrange being an option out of the bullpen. Although, if he were to be called up, I mean, that's something that can be a quick fix, which is, in the meantime, probably know all we would need, as well as other guys still being good. And, you know, we can't afford too many days where Cruz is off. We need Duvall to be more consistent. But this team could use Legrange right now. I don't think it's time yet. If it were up to me, obviously, I'd be down, call him up. He's not in the 40-man. That's not an issue. The Yankees have open spots. They could deal with that. And that applies also to Yovani Cruz, which is somebody I think, and many other fans have brought him up, the Yankees should really consider adding to the 40-man, bringing up to the big league roster. For those who don't know, Yovani Cruz, I wasn't too aware of this. I know the name. He was drafted in 2016 by the Cubs. He had TJ. He's bounced around from San Diego, Boston. He's 26 years old. And he has a sinker that averages 100 miles an hour, and it tops out at 102. Has a four-seam, a cutter, a changeup, and really his only issue for the most part in his return from TJ and just his very, like, up-and-down career-ish has been control. Well, so far, not so much an issue. Two walks in 7 1/3 innings pitched at AAA. He has not allowed a run. He's allowed just one run in those 7 1/3 innings pitched at AAA with 11 strikeouts and a 115 batting average against. Now, again, he's not in the 40-man, but the Yankees have actually two open spots. Could just add him to the 40, call him up, and there you go. Now, the Yankees aren't fools. Like, they may look at something with Cruz and his metrics, or just they do know more than I do and think there's a reason why they shouldn't call him up right now. I'm just giving my opinion. I think it's pretty obvious. I'm sure Angel Trevivi is decent, and maybe he will be an effective reliever over the long haul, but let's be honest, he's not going to be here over the long haul, and given what we know about Yovani Cruz, who has looked electric at AAA, as has Trevivi. So this is nothing really to do with him, but we could use a flamethrower that can get strikeouts. And Yovani Cruz seemingly is a guy that can do that. We need help right now. So whether that's calling up Cruz or getting Legrange up here now, I don't think that would be the case. Cruz, I think, is very much possible. Bring this guy up. We need reinforcements immediately, not at the trade deadline, although I know that'll come. Not when Cole and Rodon are back and you get Weathers and Warren to the bullpen. I know that'll come. We have a series against the Royals starting tonight. We got to win games. We're only one game over 500, and the bullpen is the main reason why you figure the Yankees are going to lose. That's the number one candidate as to why. Now, the offense, which we'll get into now, the offense, I thought it was a very promising series against the Angels. Now, still some issues, some things that are not ideal. Jazz still isn't hitting. the bottom third of the order, besides Caballero, which we'll get into again in a moment, there's issues, but Judge has found his stroke. He's been going nuts. And let's get into the bullpen now, because the bullpen we discussed, we know they got to fix it right now, and it's a problem. It's our biggest problem, far and away, in my opinion. But yeah, Judge was getting going. Stanton, we finally saw some power yesterday. And you know what? Speaking of that power, let's Yanks finally hit the long ball to a great deal this week against the Angels. Let's take a listen to some of the Yankees homers, and then we'll get into an article by Jules Sherman that was released last night specifying an issue with this Yankees offense, which is they're not hitting lefties. We'll touch on that in a moment, but here's a listen on the Yankees homers from this week. They hit quite a few.
And he has a home run here tonight. See ya! A long one! Drilled deep to left field. That ball is gone! A bullet! High fly ball, right field. Adele back on the track at the wall. See ya! A pinch hit! Three-run home run for Grisham. Oh, go that way. Deep to left. See ya. There's your answer.
A week since Romano's pitched. Uh-oh.
Fly ball, deep right. Going back, Adele on the track at the wall. See ya. He's tied the game. 1-2. Drill deep to right field. Going back, Adele. Track, wall. See ya. Into the judges' chambers.
Whoop.
Drill to left field. Going back low. He's on the track, looking up, see ya! Another home run for Judge.
Well, Stanton.
High fly ball, deep center. Teodosio back on the track, at the wall, see ya! Into Monument Park.
6-3 Angels, and Ben Rice hits one deep to right center. And that ball is gone into the Yankee bullpen.
All right, so Yanks are hitting homers this series, which is something we've been talking about for a few weeks now. Severely was lacking with his offense when it was struggling, and it, not by any means saying that we've righted the ship offensively, but you need all of it. You need timely hitting, you need situational hitting, you need good fundamentals. You also need home runs. You can't really take any of those things out of the equation, and for a good while, the Yankees weren't hitting homers. The offense this series, while not perfect, took a big step forward, and Judge getting hot is a big part of that. Stanton, nice to see him contribute some power yesterday at the time. Go ahead, two-run shot. That was cool. Rice continues to hit. Grisham had his big night on, what was that, Tuesday? There is an issue, though, with this offense that we got to mention specifically, and that is their lack of production against left-handed pitching. And we saw a few lefties this weekend, Reed Detmers being one of them. We saw, Kikuchi. We actually had Kikuchi pretty well the other day, but... So last year, the Yankees had an OBP, which led the majors of 340 against left-handed pitching, led the majors also in slugging against left-handed pitching, 457. They had the best OPS in all of baseball against left-handed pitching. Well, that was last year. This is this year. So far against lefties in 2026, they're hitting just 160. And if you take Judge of the equation, they're hitting just 142 against left-handed pitching. So while last year, a 797 OPS against lefties, best in baseball, this year, they're 535 OPS against lefties, third worst in baseball. Stanton is 0-14 against left-handed pitching. Jazz, Grisham, and Wells combined 4-44 against left-handed pitching without an extra base hit or RBI. A big difference here is Cody Bellinger, who raked against lefties last year, hit 353 against them. This year is hitting just 176. So that's a big part of this. And listen, Grichuk, the idea of him on the roster, I was totally in support of. And he had his first hit the other day. Good for him. I like the idea of a guy like Grichuk on the roster because then you can platoon with Grisham, who Grisham is truly just not good against left-handed pitching. One of the issues I had with the lineup the other day, which obviously Ben Rice needs to be in there every day, and he will be. We're facing a couple lefties this weekend against Kansas City. He will be in the lineup against both of them. We know that. Ben Rice should be playing every single day. I did not like, for what was it, game three on Wednesday, when, you know, Grisham had a good couple days against, or a good couple homers, what am I saying here? A good game off the bench, the two-homer game, and that led to him getting the start against, what, Detmers on Wednesday, and I don't really know why, because you had Bellinger sitting. Now, if you wanted to get Bellinger day off, he hasn't been great. All right, sure, he probably should have been against a righty, and then that way you play Grisham against the righty while you're sitting Bellinger, not sit Bellinger against the lefty, which we know Bellinger's not been good against lefties so far this year, but that's kind of whatever. We need him to be better, but you don't figure he's just bad against them now. Grisham, we know, is. Last year, hit sub 200 against lefties. The at-bat is totally different when he's facing a lefty. Just does not look as good. Grisham should not play against left-handed pitching. So I did not like that lineup decision the other day. Grichuk, the idea of him on the roster, I don't mind him in the lineup. The idea of an outfielder who hits right or hits lefties well, if that means Grisham is sitting, I think that is fair. And then when the lefty comes out, you take Grichuk or whoever's filling that role. Right now it is Grichuk, and then you put Grisham in, like we saw the other day. For the most part, Grisham shouldn't play against lefties. But we need Bellinger to be better. We need him to be better. And overall, I mean, he just has not been great. And I won't get on him too much for the trying to turn the single into a hustle double. We've seen him do that successfully yesterday. Silly decision on when he tried to do it and it didn't work out. That wasn't ideal. And you had a Jose Caballero getting picked off. Like, there were some things here and there that were frustrating on an individual level. But to keep it in the general long-term concerns, the bullpen, the bottom third of the order. Well, hitting against left-handed pitching, we got to be better against. And again, if you take Judge out of the equation, they're hitting 142 against lefties. We need Bellinger to be better, and we need the bench to be better too. I mean, I'm not going to get on Goldschmidt, who's overall been good, and he's been getting some at-bats against righties. Same with Amed Rosario. Amed Rosario, his OPS is still above 800. I like his at-bats, and his defense, Rosario at third, has been quite surprisingly good. He hasn't been great against lefties. Stanton hasn't been great against lefties. He's been ineffective, 0 for 14 so far against them. Our bench was designed to be kind of like the lefty killer in a way, like the anti-lefty unit on the bench was a big theme going into this offseason, but we haven't really been getting much out of that. And we know Randall Grichuk's a big part of that. We need more from the bench. We need more from Stanton. We need more from Bellinger. Last year, he hit 353 against lefties, a 180 WRC+. This year, he's hitting just 176. Not going to say the case the entire season, but again, general themes, issues so far, the bullpen, bottom third of the order. Our lack of production against left-handed pitching is a big reason as well. That's got to be shored up, and we're seeing it with the way opposing managers are deploying their lefty relievers. Like this series against the Angels, I mean, the stats back it up. The eye test does as well. You see a lefty come in, and it feels like the Yankees aren't doing nothing against them. Now, Ben Rice, one of his homers as of now yesterday with the fifth of the year, that was against lefty, which was cool. But the Yankees will be better against lefties. They got to be better kind of starting immediately. That's what this all is about, is we're just one game over 500. So, like, these issues we're talking about, you know, when we're 8-2, we're 8-3, not as much of a pressing matter. Well, right now it is. Like, the bullpen has to be better immediately. It needs immediate assistance. When we're going to face a couple lefties this weekend against Kansas City. Like, we got to hit those lefties. So these are the issues right now, and these issues right now are losing us games. So while this isn't number one on the issue chart, it's definitely the bullpen. I would put this actually ahead of the bottom 30 order. Because again, I think if the bullpen was just good enough in the meantime, we can get by with the production we're getting out of the bottom 30 of the order. And speaking of the bottom 30 order, let's talk a little bit of Jose Caballero, because he has found his stroke. We got a couple things to discuss here. We'll touch on Anthony Volpe as well. But I want to give a shout out to Caballero, because speaking of the bottom 30 of the order, he has been heating up over the last week, last seven games, hitting 307 with a homer, seven ribs, had his first homer of the year against the Angels in, I believe, what was that, game one? Of course, had the walk-off hit, which was one of the most electric moments of the season, by the way. It's a shame we ended up losing yesterday, because if not, we would have been talking more about Wednesday's win. But Caballero's been really good over the last week, and he also has eight stolen bases this season, which, by the way, this is not insignificant whatsoever. The Yankees lead the American League in stolen bases so far with 24, and Caballero's a big part of that. So shout out to him. He's been playing much better as of late. Maybe it just needed a little bit of time to get going, or he knows on his way back is indeed Anthony Volpe. He had his second rehab game yesterday on Thursday and recorded his first hit. And I want to talk about this a little bit, because take a look at Volpe's swing. This is very much a spring training-esque conversation, but you'll notice, take a look at Volpe's swing here, whether it be not so much the stance, but like the stride, everything about it, it looks a little bit different. Here's Volpe getting his first hit Thursday in his second rehab game.
Now working his way back. 3-0. Crack back up the middle. Base hit for Volpe. Lombard chasing to third. He's in there sliding feet first. And Anthony Volpe back in the hit column in his second rehab start.
All right. By the way, so that advanced Lombard to third. Quick little note on Lombard. Another multi-hit game at AA for Lombard yesterday. He's hitting 415 in 10 games so far, AA. We're going to definitely keep our eyes on him, because Well, I don't think he's getting the call up this year. He's doing everything in his power to make it a conversation. But a lot of other factors are involved in that as well. Anyways, this swing by Volpe. We won't spend too much time on this, but I think it had to be acknowledged. Look at how much more level of a swing that looks. He looks more composed in the box. He looks very much like, let me set this on a loop so we can keep on talking about it while we watch. It's just a single. Again, give me like 30 seconds on this, but for those that might be listening on audio only, I suggest you see the clip. I mean, it's on Yankees Avenue. This isn't that big a deal, but you cannot look at this swing and tell me it does not look like there's a change that has been made. It's a much more composed, much more level swing by Anthony Volpe. It was a middle fastball, even a little bit up, which is right in Volpe's wheelhouse. That is a different swing. I think we'll just leave it there. The swing looks more level. We'll see what it looks like when he comes back. And so far, he's just 1-for-5 in 2 rehab games. In his first game, he faced Zach Wheeler, struck out a couple times, and he's been in good spirits. Like, he really is looking at this as like a clean slate. I don't blame him. That's how he should look at that, as it like. But, you know, he's got to be good when he returns. If you want to have a little bit of optimism about that, his swing appears to be altered. And just visually, it looks to be an improvement. We'll see how it actually, you know, what it results in come his return. But I feel like I had to point that out a little bit, that he definitely looks to appear to have a more level swing. And he needs about 50 at-bats in his rehab assignment. So still looking like end of April. We'll probably definitely have another week of his rehab, if not two. But the timeline tracks for, an end of April return for Anthony Volpe. Now, of course, Caballero heating up lately. How much impact will that have? Well, we know Volpe's going to be taken over at shortstop, essentially, when that time comes, when he is healthy. But that doesn't mean we can't see Caballero still get a lot of run. Now, no matter what, off the bench, he plays a massive role with his speed and just being that 10th guy like the Yankees want him to be. But also, I mean, Amed Rosario is going to be getting a lot of starts at third base over McMahon. We'll still see McMahon star from time to time. His struggles continue. But we can see Caballero get a start at third base. We can see Caballero get a start at second base on a day you want to give Jazz a day off. And also, listen, I mean, when Volpe returns, it could either be a scar going down, or it could be the end of Randall Grichuk. If he's not performing, well, you could also look at Caballero as an option to, on a day where you want to give Grisham a day against a lefty, Bellinger in center. Well, Caballero has played the outfield before. Now, not as much of a concern with Rosario. I don't want to really put Amed Rosario in left. He could play the outfield too. Caballero, you want a true left fielder in, you know, Yankee Stadium, but Caballero is pretty good against left-handed pitching. So if the Yankees were to get rid of Grichuk come Volpe's return, which we don't know if that's what they would do, Caballero could get some time in the outfield possibly. On days where you're facing a lefty and you want to sit Grisham, Bellinger in center, would they play Caballero in left? Theoretically, you could do that. But anyways, Caballero hitting great lately. Volpe seemingly has a nice new swing, which for that one video's worth of time we'll spend on it, it's noticeable. His rehab will continue. And again, on the rehab note, Cole rehab start today against Double A. By the way, if you happen to live by the Somerset Patriots, now's the time to get out to a game. I was thinking about it myself, I can't tonight because the Yankees are playing, but if there were a day where it doesn't coincide with the Yankee game, I'm trying to get out to Double A and see. I can see Volpe. I can see Lombard, who again, he's hitting .415 in 10 games this year. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out with Lombard, even whenever the promotion of AAA happens, which for all we know could be soon. I mean, if Lombard's hitting .400 in a month's worth of games at Double A, like, is that enough for him to get the call up to AAA? Scouts are raving about the way he looks at the plate right now. I mean, he's very disciplined. Like, we saw Zach Wheeler the other day, like, really, really gassing up the way Lombard looked at the box. I'm not going to spend too much time on it just yet, but it is of note as well that, like, he's raking at Double A. Raking. We'll leave it there for now. Also, if you want to see a nice ground ball fielded by Volpe, a little backhand off-balance throw. It was relatively offline. But no, Volpe, see you soon, probably end of April. Now let's move on to this. And I got to clear the air a little bit on here because I was even misled. There was a tweet by my guy Sean Morash, who I like, of WFAN. I think he's actually one of the good ones still at WFAN. But he put out a tweet that not just implied, he basically was saying it's Judge's fault for why the Yankees are consistently just blaring out these terrible, awful, TikTok-like, just whack-ass sounds at the stadium, which is so unnecessary. I like a good old, like, the ballpark noise. Give me the organ. Give me hot dogs, peanuts, Cracker Jacks. Give me that. Give me the, like, the normal baseball sounds. That's all well and good. That's what I want to hear. Well, if you've been watching a Yankee game the last couple of years, which I'm sure if you're watching this show you have, you'll notice the obnoxious sound system they got playing at all times. It's really, really bad. Really bad. Like, I hate it. People that go to the games frequently hate it. Most people seemingly that are fans are not a fan of what the Yankees are doing with the sound system. It just does not feel Yankee-like. It doesn't feel like baseball. And funny enough, there's an article that came out from NJ.com last year, and we're going to take a look at it. The Yankees are actually very much down to make it like an NBA-like atmosphere. Judge is not why this sound system was put in place. It's not a thing where it was his decision, we want this to be, or he wanted this to happen, so therefore it did, which, although, you know, that's very much power Judge does have if he wanted it. Judge is cool with it, though. Anyways, let's read through this article really quick. So this is from NJ.com, and the first quote is from the Yankees' head of PR, Jason Zillow, and he says, times have changed. We're trying to meet our young fans where they are. There's an elaborate speaker set up in the ballpark. We didn't install it to play Phil Collins' elevator music. And more of the snippet goes on to discuss how it's, you know, part of the digital processing system, speakers strategically placed around the perimeter, blah, 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 blah. So that was Zillow saying times have changed, implying that the kids like this, whatever. Judge says, to be honest, it's still not as loud as players would like it. For me, the more music, the louder it is, the better. I disagree. Now, this quote also from Judge, he goes, when I go see the Knicks at the Garden, they're playing music even while bringing the ball up the court. If you don't do that, everyone starts looking at their phones or they stop paying attention. Music is a good way to perk everyone up. I don't even know what to say about this chat. I mean, this is like, how much have us as a race of human beings, and I get it, yo, it's a different time. Like the dopamine IG reels, the TikTok swiping, like the short term. I get it. Trust me. Like I like my vices too, but I think we can all just sit at a baseball game and watch the damn New York Yankees. Like that's ultimately what it comes down here with this. It's like, what? There's another quote from Rodon that I guess I didn't include on here, but it was so much about just like appealing to a different audience and appealing to the kids and appealing to this, appealing to that. Like, what about appealing to Yankee fans? Not to join worlds here, but it reminds me a lot of like the Star Wars world right now, where like Disney will try to appeal to new audiences or audiences that are not that heavily invested into Star Wars right now. And while they're, in my opinion, already just making a bad product for anybody with that logic, it also ruins it for the people that are already hooked and that are already here. Like, why do we have to do this to appeal to people that aren't interested in the Yankees? That, oh, Rodon's quote was something about like tourists. He's like, a lot of people that come here are, you know, to the city and Yankee Stadium is going to be like a tourist attraction. But I get all that. Like, and you have things for that. You get the new social media section that they renovated for 2017 on. And Monument Park, like there's, Yankee Stadium is very much a museum and it's awesome. Like there's plenty for tourists to do. I don't think you need this brutal sound system. But again, it's like you're trying to appeal to people that like are buying a Yankee hat for the first time, maybe. And that's great. Come on, be a fan. Happy to have you. But like, don't build the stadium's entertainment system around people that aren't your mainstay of fans, like your mainstay of income coming in every single day, every single year, or just watching on the YES Network or whatever it may be. Like, I get the players want it, so that's one thing. But I don't want to hear about times are changing, like new audience, people that are tourists that aren't one of us, yo. Like the stadium, and I don't go to games that often. I really, really don't, because I got to do Yanks Ave. But you hear it when watching through the TV. Like it sounds absurd. It's like we're supposed to be the Yankees and we're playing these TikTok sounds and jingles. And like, I don't want to hear about how we want it to be more like the NBA. You do? Do you really? Because last I checked, MLB just re-jumped NBA again for the number two sport behind the NFL. Nobody will ever touch the NFL, but I don't think the NBA is doing all that hot right now. But that's whatever. Like, it's unnecessary, yo. Like the caption says, like the title of the topic says, why all the sound effects, bro? We don't need it. Just play baseball. Give me the organ. Give me hot dogs, peanuts, Cracker Jacks. Give me the sound of birds. Give me the sound of, like, baseball is very much kind of like a sound of the season type vibe. You know, whether I'm watching, whether I'm at the game, or if you're somebody just casually having it on the background, you don't want to hear, blah, 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 blah. Like, no, you want to hear, bum, 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 and hot dogs, peanuts, crack, birds chirping. Like, the outdoors, the world. Like, that's what the sound of baseball is to me. And Yankee Stadium should be like, while it is still the cathedral for many things regarding the baseball experience, this is, I mean, you want to talk about a difference from the old stadium to the new, which I never was able to go to the old stadium, but I'm well-versed on the differences between them. I think sometimes it's overblown, particularly these days. People don't get on the new stadium as much since, you know, the new stadium gets pretty freaking loud in the postseason, thank goodness. That was an issue for a while. But talk about it feeling, whether you want to use the word corporate or just very far removed from the old Yankee Stadium. I think this is the biggest separator of them all. Besides, you know, the way it's constructed and the acoustics of it. The old Yankee Stadium was very much, you know, bowl-shaped, so... You know, I would have minded at some point a little like a, you know, what are we technically on right now? So Yankee Stadium 1, and then there was Yankee Stadium 2 in 1976. This is, people would call Yankee Stadium 3. They did make some renovations, relatively significant-ish, in 2017, as we mentioned. I don't think that gives the title of Yankee Stadium 4. But I would have minded a little renovation at some point soon. Like, make it more bowl-structured. You know what I'm saying? They'll probably, I'm sure, we're past the sound effect. Like, I hate it. It's whack. And everybody else hates it, too. So, whatever. It doesn't seem like it's going anywhere because, you know, Judge does like it. But got to clear that air up. Judge did not put this into place. But he's a fan, so maybe it's just as effective. I wonder if at any point the Yankees would do, like, a renovation on the new stadium. We're ways away from this. But, like, this stadium was very much modeled, especially the outside, after the initial stadium in 1923. It'd be cool if at some point they renovated it for like new Yankee Stadium 2 based off the renovations in 76 and give me a more bowl like that. I mean, that would take some construction. We're ways away from that. I love Yankee Stadium. I think it's awesome. I really, really do. The sound effect, though, that stuff's got to stop. It's just whack. It's lame as hell. But all right, let's conclude here with some series preview against the Kansas City Royals. So 13-game stretch concludes this weekend. The Yankees will be, let me just double-check to make sure, because we've been playing every single day. Yeah, so we're off on Monday. 13-game stretch concludes with 3 against the Royals. Night game tonight, and then afternoon games Saturday and Sunday. We will be live tonight. I might actually be heading home early this week. I haven't been home since before this 13-game stretch started. There's a chance, I'll let you guys know by tonight, we may not be live tomorrow. We definitely will be live tonight on the main channel. We might, instead of just Sunday off for the watch party, I might not do one tomorrow as well. All of the game coverage will remain, though, of course. Anyways, game one tonight, 7:05 on YES. Cam Schlittler gets the ball. We'd like a good start out of him. And by the way, we didn't touch too much on the rotation. It was not a good week for the rotation. I mean, Weathers was bad after a really good start against Oakland, Sacramento. Fried had his first clunker, which is fine. I mean, it happens. Warren, we talked about, was really good for 3 innings, then it kind of fell off in part because of the Caballero error, which, by the way, your shortstop making an error is not an excuse to all of a sudden melt down. Not going at Warren, but it's not a thing where Caballero makes an error, and like some people in the chat and the live stream, or just some people were saying like, this is all on Caballero. No, it's not all on Caballero. Like, whoever makes an error, it's also your job to pick them up. It's Caballero's fault, it's Warren's fault. Both are true. And then, by the way, we didn't talk much about Luis Gil. It's such a shame to have the outing finished. And, like, in the end, you get 3 home runs. Like, that was a bad start from Luis Gil. But I actually thought he looked really, really good. And if this were a thing where we ended up taking 3 out of 4, I think we'd talk more about Gil. Like, that's a promising step forward. I thought Gil actually looked really good for the most part in his start. But ends up giving the home runs. Leads to, you know, he had 3 homers allowed that game. 1 to Adam Frazier. 1 to, I think, Logan O'Happy. And then they had the Trout homer. Not to say, you know, steal Michael Kay's line. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln Howe is the play. But you take those homers aside, Hill, I thought, looked pretty damn good. Anyways, we need some length from our starting rotation. And Cam going tonight, Cam, we need at least 6 for me tonight. If not, if Cam can give us 7, that would be huge. Because with the state of our bullpen, honestly, I don't even know how we didn't discuss this during topic 1. But, like, the bullpen is the issue. But then that bleeds into everything else, whether it be just why we're not winning as many games or other things that we need that are correlated. We need length out of our starting rotation. Cam, ideally, he can give us some length tonight. So it'll be Cam on the bump. He's 2-1 with a 2.49 ERA entering tonight's game. And on the bump for the Royals will be Michael Wacha, who's been so good with Kansas City. He's now on year 3 with them, starting back in 2020. And very much has had a nice career, Michael Wacha has. And, like, over the last 4 or 5 years, just been a consistent, like, mid to low three ERA guy. Of course, he got to a crazy start in his career. Remember, he was, like, a big postseason story pitching for the Cardinals, was really good, and it was, like, a 17-game winner early on, and then he very much fell off. Well, the last 5 years, he's put together a very nice career. Just his tenure with Kansas City in particular, 2024, had a 3.35 ERA in 29 starts. Last year, a little bit higher, 3.86, still really good, 31 starts. And so far this year, 0.43 ERA in 23 starts. 21 innings pitch has allowed just one run. He's been terrific. So he'll go for Kansas City tonight. And that's the only righty we will be facing in this series. Tomorrow, we have Will Warren going for the Royals. And by tomorrow, I mean Saturday. The Royals have lefty Noah Cameron going, and he is in three starts, 1-0 with a 3.94 ERA. Last year, had a 2.99 ERA in 24 starts. He was really good in his rookie season, 26-year-old lefty. He'll be going in game two. We talked about the Yankees' struggles against left-handed pitching. Hopefully that will be improved this weekend, because we're also facing on Sunday lefty Cole Ragans, who is 0-3 in four games started, but a 3.78 ERA, so he's been pretty solid, and he could be really good. 2024, he had a 3.14 ERA in 32 starts. Last year, a 4.67 up and down injury year, but we haven't hit lefties. We're facing two more this weekend. So, and by the way, Sunday, you'll have Ryan Weathers for the Yankees. So tonight, Cam, Saturday, Will, Sunday, Ryan Weathers, and then for the Royals, right-hander Michael Wacha tonight. Tomorrow, Noah Cameron, the lefty. Sunday, another lefty in Cole Ragans. Obviously, got to win games. Going to set the expectation right now, take two out of three. The Yankees are a better team than they've shown. But is that really true when the bullpen is as bad as it's been? So it's like they can be so much better than this, but until the bullpen gets shored up, like, I am nervous going into this series. I am nervous about their ability to win games. And that's why, given the title of this video, being what it is, like, yes, like we need bullpen help immediately. And that could be something as simple as, yo, get Yovani Cruz up here. We could use LeGrand Hay right now. I don't think that will happen, so I don't want to spend too much time on the possibility of him coming up. But, yeah. I mean, that's the issue. And if the bullpen was deep enough, good enough, and I'm just talking not even like the World Series aspirations vibe. That's very much a trade deadline conversation, and that's fine. But in the meantime, it's not even near good enough. And as we mentioned, when Cruz is off, when, you know, Duvall's getting hit around. By the way, shout out Brent Hedrick. Brent Hedrick has been really good. And like Paul Blackburn has even been a surprise at times. Like he had a very the game one, his scoreless ninth inning was huge. But it's just not good enough. It's not deep enough. It's not good enough. And again, when you have guys who are supposed to be the mainstays not pitching well, and this is nothing against Cruz. But like we saw it, a couple clunkers this weekend. He's been great otherwise. That really exposes how thin our bullpen is. So we need help immediately, whether that's just guys currently on the team stepping up or a call-up of Yovani Cruz, LeGrand Hay at some point, or we know when Colin Rodon are back, Weathers and Warren go to the bullpen, that will help. And then you have the trade deadline. But in the meantime, we're just talking Kansas City Royals, three-game set. Wanted to, you know, keep our head above water. And fortunately, the rest of the American League has been so bad that, you know, unless you're worried about the Rays long-term, you know, we're fine in regards to the standings right now. But, like, we got to win games. And the biggest reason why you get worried about us winning a game tonight or this weekend going forward in the short term is our bullpen. While there's other issues as well, the bottom third of the order, we've got to be able to hit lefty pitching. We'll see how that goes this weekend. In the end, if our bullpen was good enough, like, I would feel significantly better, which is obvious, but I'm just saying, like, I truly look at that as, like, the one issue we have, which is, in the short term, like, game-changing, season-changing, we could win right now with our bottom third of the order, as we saw against LA. I mean, not that the Angels are the standard we should hold ourselves to in terms of being able to beat them and scoring offensively, but ultimately, if our bullpen was just good enough this weekend, we could have taken 3 out of 4, we could have swept, or even just had a less stressful split. You know what I'm saying? So that's the issue. The bullpen needs immediate help, some other things as well. But ultimately, get taken care of now, just in general, win games, get back on track. We're 10-9, second place in the AL East, game and a half behind the Tampa Bay Rays. Three-game set against the Royals begins tonight. We will be live, on the main channel at 7 o'clock. For the watch party, and I think that's all I got. In the meantime, it is a beautiful Friday. Sun is shining, blue skies. going to be like 80-something degrees. It's a nice day. I mean, we're here. It's baseball season, chat. So, you know, we're in a little bit of a rough patch right now, but that also is why the good times will feel all that much more satisfying, because we stick it through during the bad, and that way we are there for the good times, and we kind of earned it. You know, I was saying to Jolly the other day, when the one game I had to miss because the warehouse on Sunday, when we were doing cricket, ball and play, and I was like, man, stinks I missed the game. I got to go watch it back. And he's like, oh, given the way the score is, probably better. Because the Mets have been bad. He's like, probably better we missed our games. But I'm just saying, it's like, I can't ever act that way, because I know I'm not better than the Yankees or above the Yankees when they're playing well, so I'm not going to act like I am when they're playing poorly. So, not a great stretch right now, obviously. And it wasn't a terrible series, but in the end, like, you want to beat the Angels. We should have won yesterday, and we didn't. We got to a great start. It's been a bad week. Bad week and a half. But you got to lean in when the times are bad, because that way, when they're good, you saw it through. That's what we're going to do. See it through. We'll be live again with this show Monday morning. But again, in the meantime, we will be live tonight on the main channel for the watch party. Yankees Royals tonight, Cam versus Waka. I think that's all I got. Another episode of the Morning Yankees Show in the books. And I'll see you guys later tonight on the main channel for the watch party. Until then, have a fantastic Friday. Another week in the books. And yeah, that's all I got. See you guys later tonight. Let's go, Yanks.